T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But you know what? We got Bo Nix on the TV, and we're going to have Bo Morgan on the radio. I ask this question, who's got it better than me right now? The answer, nobody. Let's fire up the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We welcome in the producer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network and Dukes and Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at SquidBilly929. What up, Bo?
Just another beautiful day in Atlanta, although, man, the morning was rough, dude. I tried to play 18 this morning down here in Atlanta, and fog, it's still wet. It was It was a little rough. I mean, had a fog delay, Nick, and then it's cart path only.
Oh, I hate
and
that.
So you hit your ball in the fog, and then you got to walk around and find it because you can't see where it's at, and then You got to do all the walking, and your shoes get wet.
Brutal. I would have went home, 5 holes in, call it a day. Just go in and get a beer. Not dealing
with that. Well, I don't get many golf days in the fall, Nick, so I'll take what I can get, man.
You're damn right. Hey, let me start with this with the Falcons. Arthur Smith said this week that the Falcons are like a business close to turning a profit. When I heard that, I started thinking, okay, wait a minute. So Isaiah Oliver's going to IR. Calvin Ridley will not play for personal reasons. And you're going across the pond to play a team that just beat the Tennessee Titans, although they were without a few of their receivers. Are you buying the analogy of a business getting ready to turn a profit?
Well, yeah, because I don't think he – I looked at it a different way. I didn't see it as, oh, this week, and he's talking about, you know, this weekend and all these guys missing. I think he's talking about the bigger picture. And he also came on – he said that in his press conference. And then he doubled down on it when Carl asked him on Dukes and Bell. We have him every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, look, what do you think the identity of your team is? And he goes, well, we're a business startup that's trying to turn a profit. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're really close. And he's talking about the mentality of this team. Look, this team laid an egg against the Eagles to start the season. But since then, they've came out and shown some grit and some fight, and they haven't quit. You know, look at Tampa Bay. They're down, I think, what was it, 28-10 to start the second half. And then, boom, they get it back 28-25. And then, you know, a couple of things happen. The game looks a lot worse than it was at one point. And then they go to New York. This Giants team is not as bad of a team. They just went and beat New Orleans. In New Orleans in overtime, by the way. Right. So don't tell me the Falcons' defense is all bad, because this high-powered – at times, New Orleans offense that we've seen with Jameis Winston at the helm, they were able to hold them. And then the Saints defense is pretty daggum good, if I can say that word, you know, kind of like a Larry Munson kind of term. And they scored 28 on the Saints, and that the Falcons held them to 14 points. So there has been some strides. The Falcons were down in that game 14-7, and then last week, it was a back-and-forth kind of game. Yeah, the Falcons should have won. They made some mistakes. But I think he really means that this team isn't quit. And, you know, Ross Tuckers came on and said that he's seen it from the Falcons. He's very impressed with how they just don't quit. There's some true grit in this team. And I think that is it. I think Arthur Smith is talking about, look, this team is giving these maximum efforts, and it's going to pay off really soon. And these guys are all in. The team, these players, it's more than just a few guys. It's a 53, 55, 65 with the practice squad. These guys are all bought in. And I think that's what he's really talking about, is the grit of this team, that they've bought into what he has came in with. And they're close to really seeing it turn into something. And I think the something is wins. And they've got a stretch here that they can – really make that look possible. They can put that on the paper and show, hey, here are our wins. We've got something to show for it, finally. And hopefully it starts Sunday.
For sure. No, I'm with you. The fight has been admirable. I appreciate that. Calvin Ridley will not play. Personal reasons. We don't know why. We wish him the best and hope all is well. But with him being out, do you expect Kyle Pitts to take on a bigger role and for that production to follow?
Yeah, and look, I saw something last week. Kyle Pitts, I think, had the second most targets on the team as a receiver with 9. He only caught 4, though, Nick. One of those was a drop he should have had on the sideline. The other was on the sideline where he's got to get that second foot down. It was a catch at Florida, but he doesn't play at Florida anymore. So I think we're seeing the evolution of him getting more targets. But there's another tight end, I think, to get more targets too. I think that's Hayden Hurst. I think Arthur Smith might show his hand a little bit with the creativity that we've seen it already, but I think it could really take effect with his creativity with a Kyle Pitts this week, where he's going to move him out. I would hope, and I'd kind of expect to see Kyle Pitts on the field a lot with Hayden Hurst, but where Hayden is lined up in the traditional tight end, maybe even Lee Smith on the field, and Kyle Pitts is lined up in the slot or on the outside, I think that it's a point of emphasis this week more than ever. Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy that we know has been used a lot already. But if you go look at Cordarrelle Patterson in his history as a player in the NFL, he's not as effective when he's lined up at the wide receiver more than these other positions. That's why you've seen him kind of move around and be a gadget kind of player. I hate that term because I think he's so much more than that. But when you look down to it, he's got to use a running back, guys use a wide receiver, guys use all over the place, you know, especially he can do everything. Matt Ryan called him a throwback player because he can do everything offensively. But yeah, I think Kyle Pitts will be used more. But Kyle Pitts has to take advantage of those plays. And everybody knows I'm a Pitts guy, I'm a Florida guy. I need Kyle Pitts to get that second foot down. I need Kyle Pitts to hold on to that ball through contact. And those are two catches where he could have been 6 catches and 9 targets last week. And I know people are talking about the Kyle Pitts issues, but you can't force feed him. But when you do get in the ball, he's got to make the play because that's what it's about. You can't just say, well, you've got to get him more involved. You're getting a guy involved when you got a 9 targets. He's got to make the plays too. There's not just a guy calling the plays and a guy throwing the football.
Bo Morgan is joining us, offering a whole heck of a lot more than Bo Nix is right now on the Plains. He's joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I'm with you with Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, he might be one of the best offseason gems in the entire NFL. I mean, Sam Darnold's had a really good year, surprisingly, with Carolina. But I'm not sure many people outside of him or Cordarrelle Patterson have had a bigger impact on their team. Let me flip to the other side of the line of scrimmage. Let me go to defense. Does it feel like, and we've seen Dean Pease at times, he's gotten some really good play at times out of Dante Fowler. The defense has had strides where they've been really aggressive. I know losing Oliver's a big hit, but the reality is you're going up against Zach Wilson this week, and we're down our best receiver. Is this a week where the defense has to win it for us?
Well, I don't ever put it on one side of the ball, but yeah, the defense has got to step up. Now, they got to make plays, but it's not going to be easy. You know, the one thing I'll say about this, I don't really think New York is great up front, but they have some guys on the outside. Look at Elijah Moore, Jamison Crowder, Braxton Berrios, who apparently is playing his butt off this year. You know, he's going to have a rebirth. And then Corey Davis, who you know really well.
Yep.
And if Zach Wilson can get these guys the ball, they can make plays. And Gator, LaMichael Perine, and of course the young kid from North Carolina, Michael Carter. But the one thing that I've kind of learned is, you know, listening to guys talk from New York and looking at stuff, Zach Wilson is not really comfortable in the pocket. And I don't know how many times we got to say this about a Falcons defense, but what the Falcons defense has to do is be disciplined in their pass rush. And Dante Fowler, who has really played well, he's all over the place, Nick.
Yeah, he is.
But
he
the
is.
One thing he's – but, Nick, you know what he's not doing? He's not playing disciplined football and making some plays. And I saw this on Sunday – where he's all over the place, but he doesn't make the play because he gets a little bit out of whack and he's kind of coming in there undisciplined and just
he's trying to overcompensate.
Yeah, well, he wants to make a play so bad.
I know.
And
I
love it. But, Nick, he's got a it's kind of like when you set the edge against the run game, where the defensive lineman's just got to – you just got to push that guy and push your guy and keep moving laterally and push that running back all the way to the sideline, where either you have help from the secondary or somebody's on the outside, or you push him out of bounds. And when you're coming on the pass rush, just keep those lanes, because Zach Wilson needs to be stepping up, right, where Big Grady can eat. Or maybe you got Jonathan Bullard or Tyler Davidson or one of those guys coming in. You know, Marlon Davidson's obviously not going to play. Maybe that's Jaquan Graham. But the guys on the edge have to be disciplined and hold that. You want Zach stepping up, because when he steps out or around, that's when a Zach Wilson is really dangerous. He's got the arm strength and he's got the wills, and he's got some receivers that can catch the ball. He's even got, a couple running backs that can catch the ball in the backfield. So the defense has got to step up. I look at those guys up front doing that, and it helps these young guys in the back. You know, the Richie Grants, the TJ Greens. I don't know if we'll see Avery Williams. Probably not. He's doubtful, maybe. But Darren Hall is going to be out there. Those guys, that'll help those guys in their coverage. So, to me, yeah, the defense has got to step up. And to me, it starts with those front guys. To, a long answer to a short question, I guess.
All right, some closing moments here with Bo Morgan joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. After last night, I thought Brian Snicker should have been fired. How is he managing this team today after he actually had the audacity to leave Charlie Morton in? I mean, Bo, I don't get these people on Twitter. Like, what is Snicker supposed to do? He's in a no-win situation unless this team actually would have won that game last night. I think the Snicker criticism between the Morton-Luke Jackson combination last night of going to the bullpen or sticking with your gun, it is the most ridiculous thing of all time.
Well, the best job in the world is a Monday morning quarterback, because you're never wrong, Nick. You're never wrong. And there was a bunch of 10th inning, managers last night, or whatever you want to say. Charlie Morton had thrown 77 pitches, I think it was. And people are telling me, clearly wasn't the same guy in the sixth inning. Nick, do you know how hard it is to do what he did? He struck out, 9 or 10 guys through 5 innings? He gave up, I think it was 2 hits and 1 walk? Dude, anything would have looked like struggling compared to what he did in the first 6 innings. They just want to whine and complain. You know why? Because they don't have the guts to blame the guys who lost you the game. Or, I don't have a problem with Jorge Soler running from third. But I got a problem with your at one point in time, your 1 through 4 was 0 for 9 or 10 or something like that, or 11.
Your top 5 went 1 for 17.
They were abysmal.
Yep.
Dansby Swanson hitting down at 8 did some stuff. Adam Duvall has been non-existent. I read some kind of – I think he's 2 for his last 17 in playoff baseball. Mm-hmm. You need him. Travis d'Arnaud, he just struck out with a guy on second. I'm watching it now. Their lineup has been awful. They're getting beat up by good pitching right now. But look, it was a pitcher's duel. And Charlie Moore – I have seen Charlie Moore – this was the biggest thing to me. I said this on Twitter, and guys just wanted to argue – how many times this year have you seen Charlie Morton have bad innings like he did in the sixth – or let me – excuse me, struggles in innings like he did in the sixth inning, and then come back and pitch – give you 2 more innings where he was pretty good. I've seen that guy go 100-plus pitches more than any other pitcher this team has had on the staff in years. Yeah, Charlie Morton was the right play. He was a veteran. He made 2 bad pitches. He really made 2 bad pitches all game. He hit a guy, and then there was a home run. And I don't know anybody that wouldn't have ran Charlie Morton out there. The other thing is, I know this is only a 5-game series. I know that you got a day off tomorrow. But do you really want to be running out some of the guys that aren't Luke Jackson and Tyler Matzik? I mean, I don't.
Nope.
And half these fans are going to kill Snicker when he runs out Will Smith. So you can't make him happy. I thought Morton did the right thing, and I hope he does the same thing with Freed today if it comes down to that. If Freed is at If Fried has a shaky six and he's 85 pitches in, he better be out there in the seventh, because those are your aces. Those are your horses. Those are the guys that you need to win. So why pull them?
Totally agree. Bo Morgan on Twitter at SquidBilly929. He's the executive producer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dukes and Bell, and ardent Brian Snicker apologist. Good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, Nick, remember, a BEAU Bo is always better than BO Bo.
You're damn right.